A few weeks ago, at an outdoor ceremony in Oakland, California, writer Carvel Wallace watched his only son graduate from high school.
Ezra Wallace.
This was an especially emotional rite of passage for Wallace because his son almost didn't graduate. Not only the pandemic, but the last few years of political and social unrest has profoundly changed so many of our children, testing our notions about parenting and the expectations we put on them. Carvel Wallace recently wrote about this in an article for The Nation titled, "My Son is His Own Person, and I'm Glad to Know Him." And Carvel joins us now. Welcome back to Here and Now.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks for being here. So first of all, congratulations. How does it feel to finally see him walk across the stage?
It was magical because we literally didn't know if he was going to graduate until like a few days before, you know, we got the email finally being like, he managed to do it. He got enough credits and he's going to walk into graduation. So I think, you know, for his mother and I, you sort of like the whole day you're prepping and it's like, oh, we've got to get this. And do you have your robe? And what about your orchid wreath? And oh, I forgot to bring the thing. And so then we get to the location and you're kind of focused on logistics. And then all of a sudden there's this moment when he walks and you stand up and cheer and scream. And then you look at his mother and we just like, I get overwhelmed with everything that we've been through his whole life. You know, mm-hmm. It just is overwhelming. Mm-hmm. So I got really emotional, especially right at the end.
Your guy, your son, he's a smart kid. He's intelligent, inquisitive,
Quite. All
of the things that parents want in their children. You received the notification, though, a few months ago through an email that his grades weren't that great. He might not graduate. How did this experience test your own notions about this milestone?
Well, it's a complicated thing because, yeah, like, as you point out, like, that's the juxtaposition that he's always made us face, that, like, he's everything that you would want in a child. He's a good person, like all these things, like what you just said and more. And then also you recognize that he's not performing in line with this system that you have been taught your whole life to respect and take seriously. And it forced me to question my own relationship to this system. Like, what does it actually mean that he's not performing well in this system? By that, I mean the system of like education. And you know, this started becoming an issue around seventh grade, which it does for a lot of kids. And for years, I would try to convince him that, this is why you need to do well in school. And he would sort of be like, but that doesn't make any sense. I'd be like, okay, you're right. But this is why you need to do well in school. But I don't think he ever really fully bought it. So I think getting those consistent emails, we've been having meetings like this whole time in high school, that combined with the political stuff and just everything has forced me to re-examine my relationship to the system of American education and what is the true value of it in our culture.
Yeah, as you write, you say you're 46 years old and you were taught that education offered some relief from racism and oppression. It was a mechanism towards a way out. But you also say, yes, your own education has allowed you to do things like pay bills, but it is still unclear whether it has bought you something that we're all trying to attain, and that is freedom. How have you wrestled with this in the context of your son's experience?
I mean, when I get right down to it, and that's one of the things that makes him so valuable as like a partner in parenting, is that he asks you questions that force you to get to the root of the truth. And so when I got right down to it, I think I had to realize, well, my main concern is he going to be able to financially support himself? Mm-hmm. Like, and even that concern is like split, right? Part of it is wanting him to be able to navigate his life. And part of it is just a kind of more selfish, not wanting to be burdened with his inability to make a living for any longer than we need to. And his mother and I like have had to process this together and separately and with each other over tech, you know, and so over years. And so that's what I've arrived at, that actually a lot of that concern is self-centered. It's like, how long am I going to have to keep paying for this kid on some level, which is a valid concern. But there's also the feeling, too, that when I step back, I go, well, he does have all the qualities, like he's going to figure it out. Probably. Like he's not, you know what I mean? Like he's intelligent and interesting and he's just taking his own route. I was raised partially by an aunt who was an extreme stickler about education. Every day was check the homework, get good grades. Every B was a problem. Every time I like got a C in a class, that was like an issue. So I was talking to her about him and explaining how difficult it was. And she said, oh, well, he just marches to the beat of his own drummer. And I was like, wait, what? Like, where was that energy when I was, you know what I'm saying, in middle school? But like, to me, even hearing her say that helped me contextualize that is true. Like, he's going a path that I can't predict. And that is hard for me, but that's not necessarily a problem in the absolute sense.
Your son's experience, though, also represents something else. It represents, though, the uncertainty of this time. Maybe this is something that all parents go through. You actually reference this in your article. You say that this stress point is as old as humanity itself. But our kids are experiencing things that we never have, and in ways that don't make the answers immediately clear for us about our roles in helping them through to what they will likely experience in the future. Like, what exactly are we preparing them for?
Right. It's funny because I had this conversation with my daughter last night over dinner, and I was saying how my generation, which is Gen X, is probably the first generation that like didn't, or at least the people I know, didn't get more conservative as we grew older, but instead became more radical. And I was explaining to her how, right, because when I was a kid being raised by boomers, they were like, oh, you think this now, but wait till you have to pay bills. And like, that has not actually played out. And part of the reason I think that's happening, and this is kind of a bigger idea, but I was explaining to my daughter, like, part of the reason behind that is because I came along at this sort of real visible onset of late stage capitalism and the real onset of like very visible, undeniable capitalist dystopia. Like when I was a kid, my parents and the people who raised me could still sort of say, listen, get a good job, get a house, get a relationship. You know what I mean? Like this will work. Don't worry. This will be fine. But what we went through, seeing the way the economy changed, the way class separation changed, the way distribution of wealth changed, it became much harder to simply blindly believe in that system. And so as I'm changing and growing out of my, you know, what I was sort of taught for the early portions of my life, I'm watching my son like represent all those questions. Like, why do I have to do this? What is the point? Does this even make any sense? And like, the truth is, he's right. Like, I can't super convince him that if he just follows X, Y, or Z path, everything will be fine, because the environment is uncertain. What we're seeing with capitalism is really terrifying. And I think my kids see that in such a clear way. We see homelessness at this expansive level here in the Bay Area. You know, like, we see all the evidence now, and my kids see all the evidence of how our system is failing to keep people alive and safe and cared for. And so it's much harder for them to simply blindly walk into it and think that all will be well. So I guess, I don't know if that answers your question, but I guess what I'm saying is that their questioning of it has mirrored my own changing viewpoints on all of this. And so it puts us in a place of unknowing.
Mm-hmm. It's a hard place to be as a parent, to be in the unknowing, because we're supposed to have the answers, or at least we thought we were supposed to have the answers. You know, yeah. I'm thinking about how this summer will be a reset for many parents. Their kids are going to be going back to school in person in the fall. And there could be this inclination to go back to that often demanding push towards excellence, that kind of parenting. What are the questions we should be asking ourselves and really the young people in our lives right now? It sounds like you have these really deep conversations with your children.
I mean, when we say we don't know, I don't know if I feel that way. I feel like what I know has changed. There are some things that I know. And what I don't know as much as maybe I did when I was 15 or 12 or whatever is something about the way our system works and where to get in on it. What I do know with increasing clarity is stuff about love and relationships and family and community. You know, so the questions that we should be asking maybe is questions like, does my child feel safe? Does my child feel loved? Do I respect my child as a human being? Do I give them space to be who they are? Do I practice the act of love with this person in a way that is healthy and caring and careful and respectful? I think those are the questions that are timeless. Mm-hmm. And those questions, I think, take on an obvious extreme importance as the systems that have propped our society up begin to crumble. it turns out that those systems were unsustainable, and that these other systems of love and family and community and relationship and caring and sharing, those are sustainable. And so I feel drawn to a greater investment in those.
Carvell Wallace, thank you so much for this conversation.
Thank you so much.
That's New York Times bestselling author Carvell Wallace talking with us about his article in The Nation titled, My Son is His Own Person and I'm Glad to Know Him. An update now. A CDC meeting today on the safety of mRNA vaccines in teens and young adults has been postponed until next week. The committee is looking at very rare cases of heart inflammation in teens and young adults who got the vaccine. There were more than 300 cases out of millions of young people vaccinated. And as of right now, only kids over 12 are eligible for these COVID vaccines. Trials are now underway to see how younger children respond to them.